the key thing is, how can you put yourself into the shoes of the learner and understand what their problems are and what, you know, what guidance do they need to help them get to the next step? And that depends on, you know, what your resources are and what your goal is. But that's, at the end of the day, the education is an intervention, and we're doing it because we think it'll help us. But it's really about the learner.
Are you struggling to effectively train both your customers and channel partners on your product? Well, NetExam is the all-in-one solution you need. As a leading customer and partner education platform, NetExam is purpose-built to help companies like yours deliver engaging, personalized training experiences that drive product adoption, customer success, and partner enablement. NetExam has worked for many years with companies that have the most advanced partner channels in the world, like Oracle, Dell, and Johnson & Johnson, with advanced features like customizable learning tracks, interactive content, robust analytics, and modern AI tools. NetExam empowers you to create seamless education programs that scale with your business for both your customers and your valuable channel partners. Stop wasting time and resources on ineffective training methods. Partner with NetExam and unlock the power of comprehensive customer and partner education to grow your business. Visit netexam.com to learn more today. Welcome to C-Lab, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and the bad advice that stop growth dead in its tracks. Hello, everybody. I'm Dave Darrington, and we have a special guest today, Michelle Wademer. Say hello, Michelle.
Hi, everyone.
It's really great to have you on the show. And you know how we ease into these episodes all the time by going to the days of the year. What's the day today? And let's look. We'll share on screen. Oh, that's fun. It's summer. Wiggle your toes day. I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, I'm wiggling my toes now.
Yeah, we're gonna wiggle toes a lot, and it's National Night Out. I think that's cool, right? And International Scuba Day. Good stuff. Balloons to Heaven Day. I've never heard of that.
I'd like Farm Worker Appreciation Day.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, we'll go with that. Farm workers, what do you need to learn to be successful? Not so much. Okay. All right. Well, what today is all about, what this episode is all about, is really kind of taking a collective, you know, deep breath in to frame up this, where we're at. We're in, as we're recording today, in 2024, summer, looking at the fall conference season. We're thinking about all the new stuff in education. And what I've really been intrigued by hearing people that we work with, we talk to, Michelle, you and I talk pretty frequently, it's about slowing down and really thinking about the creative act and the work that we're doing and how we do the work in customer education. Specifically, all right, let me set this up, or would you like to set it up, Michelle? You can take the stage here about who am I and who are we talking to today in your context, because we work with the same people.
Yeah, I'm sure that like your listeners getting sort of an understanding of where I'm coming from is helpful. So I started my career as a writer in K through 12 educational publishing. Then over the next 25 years, I had various instructional design, e-learning development, and technical writer positions. Mm-hmm. A lot of that was freelance. Part of that time, I also volunteered as an after-school destination imagination coach. And that was all about teaching my teams creative problem-solving, teamwork, and presentation skills. I had about 10 teams ranging from kindergarten to eighth grade over about 10 years. Then about 15 years ago, I sort of put my stake in the ground and said, you know, what I do, I'm going to call that customer education. Uh-huh. It was, you know, I really enjoyed working with software as a service companies and, you know, developed online resources and learning experiences for them. And I did have a couple of years as manager of customer education and getting ready to sort of change directions, but we can talk more on that later.
Good. Okay. Now that's a really good setup. And let's dive into that because I have questions for you about how you got here and why that matters. Because mm-hmm. I think the audience that we have, and you know, this is your audience too. You know, you're one of the tribe that we listen to and care about a lot because of what you're putting out there. So you started off, you've got a degree in learning, well, your English. That's a great foundation. Yes. Because what I was a chemist, right? I got my BS in chemistry and then I got a master's degree, kind of like along with your pet. But for me, chemistry was my English.
Why? Yeah. I got the English degree. Honestly, I started as an elementary education major and yeah. had the wisdom to recognize that I was more introverted than I might be happy standing in front of students every day, all day long. So I kind of had this idea that wasn't really very thought through or very actionable, like maybe I'll be a college professor. But I got out and got a writing job and I was like, wait a minute, I'm really good at writing. So, you know, right. if I can get paid for that, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And here you are. And a lot of times when we think about various degrees, the reason I'm talking about this a lot is my background, my family, all, you know, so many of my friends are teachers. And a lot of us fall into that. We think, oh, well, we're really good at teaching and stuff, but for one reason or another, we don't go down that route. I went down the chemistry route because for me, I always liked just diving into something and learning it. And there was nothing more visceral than being in the laboratory. And chemistry is like English in that, you know, I before E except after C in English is, okay, well, you have a whatever benzene ring and blah, 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 blah. You know, like there's such similar rules in organic chemistry and how chemicals interact. They're like, you know, assembling words, which is a chemical. And it kind of blew me away. You know, people are like, well, did you do a lot of writing? Or what? How did you get here? And I go, well, chemistry is a very creative and it's a very language-driven thing. That and math, even science. Now, what I want to do is connect the dot then. Okay, master's degree in learning technologies. So now you have the intentionality. You've been in the field working. Where it's important for us to understand, like, what is that? What is a learning technology program about? And how did that give you more, you know, interesting background to work with?
Yep. So I went back after many years of experience and got the master's in learning technologies. And part of what drove me towards that is I kind of had this sense that even though I'd done a lot of cool things, uh-huh. maybe I had some gaps in my understanding. Like I'd never had any formal training in being an instructional designer. I was doing the work. I've read, you know, Cami Bean's The Accidental Instructional Designer. And I was like, yeah, that's me. So I went back sort of to feel like I had, you know, some grit behind those credentials. Like, yes, I am an instructional designer, but learning technologies, in a way, it was more about the technology and how we can use it to further learning with our different audiences.
I get that. But what is it when you're focusing now on the technological part, what does that technology mean? Is like we in our field associate it with like Camtasia or Adobe products or an LMS or stuff like that?
Yeah. So it's really about, you know, how do you design using the technology that we have? Like you're still designing a learning experience, but if you have in mind that you have a certain technology available to create or deliver that learning experience, that's kind of really what that focus was about.
Okay. So now it's like the use cases and application execution of the learning intervention. And well, at the time you were taking that, were you seeing the technologies that we're working with today? or were they very
I just finished that in May, so.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know what the time. I never ask because we don't want to lead with when I went to school. Good Lord. So recently, but I'm really interested in this, Michelle, that what are the kinds, do they talk in the program about more academic technologies, or are we starting to see in the academic world, all right, what is an LMS today? Okay, what's a customer education LMS? These things are different. This is the spirit of our conversation is,
yeah.
Did you see part of that?
So the program was really open-ended. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had certain types of projects that we had to do. Many of my classmates were teachers and they were working in a classroom environment. And so yeah. They were naturally drawn to the technologies that were going to help them facilitate that. Whereas, you know, I might be thinking more about a customer or extended enterprise learning management system and how, you know, how I can use that to deliver certain types of learning experiences. So it wasn't okay. About like, here's how you use this technology at all. It was more about how can you understand how technology supports what you're doing.
Okay. I find this fascinating. I want to learn more, but let's make a bridge. Okay. This is a very different experience that we're going to have today. And those of you breaking the fourth wall here, I'm not Ryan Reynolds, sorry. What we're attempting to do here is really work on our experience sets, leveraging Michelle, your background in, again, this is why I'm leading you, English, education, learning technologies. You have had a very, you know, I could say it's similar to me, and probably it's resonant with most of us. We found ourselves here. We like it here. It's really hard here. There's a reason we're doing this here. And what I want to explain more, and let's do this as a part of the conversation. We don't have to go gravitate to one specific thing, but now you, with your passion and interest and the opportunity that you have in front of you, is to go deep in learning and say, I've got the experience I need. I'm going to take that back and I'm going to go back to school. And tell us now that future state where your research intent. This is where we want to kind of tie into where we're going. And I would even say that for all of us in the community that also you who are listening here, Michelle, you have an opportunity to research. We can help by sharing in our experiences, our, you know, knowledge, our ideas. And that's what we're about here at C-Lab too. Like, we're going to learn and figure out how to do this better. So can you tell us more, what is your thesis? What are you going to study now? Yep. Where's that at? Yep.
So we haven't said it, but I'm mm-hmm. starting a PhD in education this fall. My research really centers around where and how adults learn in a rapidly changing world. One of the things, I've been reading Malcolm Knowles this summer, and he has something that really resonates for me. He says, education, or even better, learning, must be now defined as a lifelong process. And he also says the learning after schooling is done is focused on acquiring the knowledge, skills, understanding, values, and attitudes that are required for living adequately in a rapidly changing world. So I think that's part of like what drives me is how do we help people learn? And one of the things that I've been thinking about based on my experience is technology vendors are disrupting the way we work. Like, they're coming up with all these innovations. And I think that makes them well poised to help their potential and current customers, including students. You know, they may have a program with a university to help teach people who are seeking a certain kind of career. But they're right. The ones who are best at helping people learn to leverage those innovations. They know why they're solving the problems that they're solving, and they're really the best ones to say, here is how you do this. But customer education as a business function is really it's not standard yet. You know, it's kind of, I don't know if saying it's in its infancy is right, but it definitely not past the teen years. You know, it's still not, you know, it's still not your accounting department or your marketing department. It's maybe a little out there for some people. So I'm really interested in understanding this interdisciplinary nature of effective instruction and learning in this context. And one of the things that I'm really interested in is the diffusion of innovations theory and how that might apply to what we call self-directed learning. Like, we all have this idea of, hey, I'm going to put some resource out there and, you know, customers can go and learn. But self-directed learning, the way Malcolm Knowles defined it, is a very, like, the learner is going to come up with their problem. They're going to find all the resources. They're going to assign their own learning activities to get there. And I think there's a whole spectrum there of, like, completely self-directed. And on the other end, you have a completely guided program. And we're falling somewhere in the middle usually, but I'm really interested in figuring that out. Like, what works for different circumstances and how do you do it?
This is really interesting. Let me share some of this. So great. I tried to scroll on the screen that I can't see. Go away, Oracle Cloud. This is the person, Malcolm Knowles?
Yes.
Okay.
He's got the adult learning theory.
Interesting stuff. So this is andragogy? Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. So andragogy opposed to pedagogy. Pedagogy is the science of teaching, whereas andragogy is the science of learning.
Oh my gosh.
Especially for adults. I mean, we assume that pedagogy is for children, but it actually doesn't really mean that way. It's more about how do we teach.
This episode is brought to you by Clouseau. Are you tired of spending countless hours producing software videos and writing help documentation for your customers? What you need is Clouseau. Simply upload a rough screen recording of your product. Clouseau will instantly transform it into a studio quality explainer video and a step-by-step how-to article. Clouseau handles all steps of the video production process, from writing your video script to generating a professional AI voiceover. It adds stunning zoom effects, highlights, and branding to your videos too. You can also translate your content into over 30 languages in just one click. And if your videos ever go out of date, there's no need to remake them from scratch. Clouseau makes it super easy to replace outdated clips and voiceovers. 10x your video production speed today at Clouseau.io. That's Clueso.io. E-learning industry, probably a good site for you to reference, but so he makes these assumptions then, and you know, self-concept is a person mature. Wow, I can't talk today. Words are hard. A person matures, his or her self-concept moves from one of being dependent personality towards one of being self-directed. Okay. So the narrative here is, let me ping pong with you. I'll try to keep it short. The thing that I've seen, Michelle, is that we are living in a world now. And I was very thankful to have an opportunity to interview Jeffrey Moore in a previous episode where, again, Jeff, if you're listening, thank you so much. What was fascinating about that was the connection that we had together about education. And he was a university professor. He taught at UW here in Seattle. He is absolutely, I won't use his own words, go listen to the episode. He was really passionate about teaching. And the discussion that we had about this, and I'm going to try to pull up some stuff because I want to give you some anchors here. We're going to come back to this in a minute. Is that there is a time and a place for everything I got to slow way down here. My mind's going nuts because this is so exciting to me. But let's talk just briefly about the reality we're posed with and why you and I are fascinated, and there's others like us that are fascinated with this idea of teaching in a world that's changing so much, or has changed so much. And what I'd said for my hypothesis in that discussion was, and again, I'm working out loud here, I'm going to show you some stuff. This is a workshop that I'm working on, and you'll hear more about soon. And one of the concepts that I think is really important to discuss is, and why I framed this up, okay, you framed up all of this stuff, and we're going to go back and look at that again in a second, the adult learning theory. I'm interested in hear your feelings about this, because you were at several different kinds of companies, and in those companies, you were at a different place in time in each one of them. I don't want to go lead with all of my experience, because now what I'm trying to do is go out there and talk to everybody I can, like you, others, friends of ours, people that we don't know, and get that experience of what they're dealing with as they work in these companies that are moving fast. Think of this, if you haven't read Crossing the Chasm, it's a really good book for us. Because in my impression, what has been very challenging is that you start here on this far left side where you're in a company that's a startup. They're a startup. They don't have squat. They don't have documentation, nothing. It's people and it's all in their heads. And then that's one problem. Then a little later, company's bigger. There's another set of problems. We hit this wall here in the middle, and that wall, that chasm is real. And there's many chasms all over. So as we go through, I'm going to stop sharing that. So I don't want that to taint our discussion too much, but for me, it's a really important thing to think about. Now let's go back to andragogy, right? Thanks for sharing this concept.
I do want to just interject.
Oh yeah.
While you had the
can we go back to that? Okay.
The crossing the chasm.
Yeah.
Image up. I had a lot of product people come to me and say, "I don't understand why we need education."
Okay.
And
tell me more.
that's a fair question. Why do we need education, especially in a startup? If most of our customers are innovators and early adopters, we actually may not need much in the way of education. We may need self-directed learning resources, and that, you know, maybe some articles, maybe some, you know, a video library of demonstrating how to do different things. Maybe we need some like tutorials, but that audience, it's my hypothesis, may not actually need a whole lot in the way of guided learning experiences. However, when you want to get to the early majority, late majority, especially laggards, those people are not usually curious enough or motivated enough to go and learn on their own. They're going to need some guidance.
Yeah. Yeah, that, oh my God. Okay, let's go back to this one. So with that in mind, yeah, but how did you come up? How did you reach that perspective? Because that's where I got to. And how long did it take you to do?
It took me about 25 years.
Fair. Yeah.
I've never even read Crossing the Chasm yet. I got exposed to that basically probably from something Adam said or wrote, you know, a few years ago. And, you know, when I started my master's program, I was thinking about it a lot more and trying to put it in context in different ways. And I think it really hit home for me, like when I said I had product people saying, "I don't understand why we need, you know, why do we need training for our customers?" And I kind of had that aha moment of like, well, some of your people need help. Other people don't need as much help. How does that work with, you know, this diffusion of innovation, you know, product adoption?
Diffusion of innovation. Where did that term come from?
That is a theory, Rogers. It's like 1962.
Okay. It's interesting.
Jeffrey Moore took that and sort of applied it to technical marketing. That's the graph. That's the diffusion of innovation.
That's this graph. So this, okay, yeah, this be I should know that. But yeah, but now I'm playing on the words, the fusion of innovation. Innovation is changing the world. Software is eating the world. You know, this is the world we've lived in. So what I'm trying to encourage you to talk about from your perspective is, you know, we've got a, okay, let me set aside. Customer education, I feel, is tremendously different from conventional, traditional teaching environments. And it's this graph is one of the things, because in if you enter, let me just wax on my experience. I entered here somewhere. I was in a very early stage startup at one point, and it was nuts, Michelle. I was flying by the seat of my pants. I knew how to teach. I knew how to build content, and I did it. But I didn't really have much structure. And yeah, I knew we needed self-directed resources, but a lot of times I was just getting on the phone, showing somebody. All of us were teaching people. But then the experience, the felt experience of being the leader, and not just a leader, I was just the one person that sometimes, you know, the felt experience of this with context around education, enablement, you could call it change management, you could call it what training, you can call it whatever the heck you want to do. What Jeff and I and you and I and others have talked about, and Adam, is that there's that we're dealing with a confounding situation of we don't have time, we don't have resources. What do we do? What's most important? When? And how do we cobble together a learning framework where all of us are kind of doing it? And this is why I think it always flies under the radar. All of a sudden the CEO goes, oh my God, we need a certification. And by that time, it's way too late if you don't have anything. And it's not like you can go into another environment where I've been a trainer before. I'm gonna stop sharing now. And they give you a book, you know, okay, teaching, university. What are we going to teach? Oh, here's an itinerary or the syllabus. You're the new teacher. Go read these books. Here's some slides. Go present the slides. Go teach. No, that's not teaching. It is. And you know, if you have physics or math or something like that, and you're going to teach it, you get the book. You've got most of the books have draft syllabus together, and then you imbue your own creative talent to bring that to life as an educator. How are we doing that in these businesses? And I think that kind of gets into why we're here. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, and something I was thinking of, something you just said triggered it, is I think a lot of people are trying to scale before they really know what they're trying to do and why they're trying to do it. And so I always say, you know, it's really important to start with why. Like, are you trying to create those resources for a self-directed learner, or are you thinking ahead about how do you reach that majority in terms of more guided learning experiences? And if you are going to provide those, you know, more structured learning intervention type experiences, you know, how are you going to do that? You know, like what resources do you have? Like what are you trying to accomplish? I think this, you know, you really need to have a good understanding of why, you know, why does education exist in your company? And I think one of the things that makes us different is there's such an imperative that it ties back to business outcomes. You know, is there a financial incentive for us to make this investment?
But isn't that hard? Let's go back a little bit.
It's really hard.
So when you say start with the why, let's frame up our experience that, okay, Michelle, you and I are a small team. We got hired. We're in a company and they go build education or fix this problem with education. And okay, that's your prompt to, let's go back to the start with why. Okay, while it seems obvious, why do we have to slow that down? What are the things that you're talking about? So you already said, okay, you need to scale. Let's go back to the problem of scale. That chart again was everything. Scale means scaling up. It means I am growing my audience more and more. They're starting to have different roles. There's things they need to learn. Over time, my team members, my company, they don't have time to slow down and write all that up and deliver it. How do we get this knowledge that's being developed? And I like this word, I use it a lot, concrescing. Concrescence is kind of just an organic thing come together, right? But if we don't mold and structure and use the kinds of people that you and I represent and the many enablement type people and the people that have that mind of, I can learn this and I can bring it together fast. You know, a company, when I see a business leader, they go, well, I just need to get this training out, or I need to do this thing. Well, why? Well, I just need to do that. Why? And you can't get people to slow down, because that's the first pain. We can't slow down.
And one of the things that I've been observing a lot lately is there's a mindset. And so it's kind of attached to content, like we need more content, 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 content. Like, how do we get more content? And to go back to what I just said, like, why do you need to give them content? What are you trying to accomplish? And I think there's this, you know, I have my, you know, my battle, maybe it's a banner I'm trying to carry of like this, what Michael Allen calls the tell and test. Like, we're going to tell you a bunch of stuff and then we're going to test and see if you remember it. And that's boring. Like, it's not a good learning experience. And so, you know, I'm very passionate about education being focused on how do we help people learn? It's not about what we want to teach. It's about what they need to learn so they can be successful. And if they're successful, we have this connection that, you know, they're going to renew, they're going to upsell, they're going to cross sell, you know, they're going to be a valuable customer. And so at the end of the day, that's why we do it.
Okay. Again, you've got a really good structure. We're looking at our transcript or our notes, but I want to slow you down on this point a lot, because you, as an education leader with the background you've got and what you're going into, this attitude or mindset shift, one, I don't think people, even some people at a leadership level, are not aware of this problem that we have. And I want to go back to that. We just need content. It sounds like a social media influencer or something, just pump more content. Yeah. Value. I think this is all the crux of, what we're trying to do. Let's go back to that. I have a business leader and that business leader is saying, get the content out. And then now you have that opportunity to do a mindset shift. What are you telling a leader in that moment then, around just what you've said? This is why customer education is different. And you can't just, quote, throw somebody at it and expect them to succeed, because what are those people going to do if we don't have the right mindset? What are they thinking about? Okay, here's a better question. Very, very specific. I go and hire somebody that has good teaching background, they know a little bit about tech. Boom, they're a customer education leader. Okay. What are you telling them when they come into that job that is there, that's going to drive them the right way?
I'm not sure I know how to answer that, but one of the things that has really shifted for me over the last year in the particular place that I've been working, you know, this last year, is thinking about your learning experience as a product. Like, it has value just like your other products. There's a reason that we build it, because it helps with adoption of our other products. And I think putting it in that mindset of this learning experience is a valuable product, I think that is a huge mindset shift. And I think it really helps get to that point of having that learner center. Like we're really trying to help them learn, because helping them learn helps us.
Yeah, in a big way.
C-Lab is proudly sponsored by Thought Industries. They've got a super robust tech platform to run your customer ed program, and they've built a think tank and community. Just look, they've released the Customer Education Playbook, a definitive book on customer ed for practitioners. They've released frameworks like maturity models, assessments, and toolkits, and they've got great community events like the Cognition Conference, roundtables, and discussion forums. But of course, there's also the tech forward platform. Thought Industries has developed a headless solution to allow for heavy customization and has a multi-tenant architecture built to scale custom learning portals to your client base to deliver personalized learning for different roles and groups. Check out Thought Industries as you grow and evolve your program, especially if you're doing things like adding paid subscriptions, using free or freemium learning in your marketing strategy, integrating your learning data into your org's overall data strategy, or learning data to prove ROI. Check them out at thoughtindustries.com and tell them C-Lab sent you.
So then it's, think of, okay, I'm just trying to say for my next, you know, person I did interview, what we're trying to do is, okay, let me take another angle. A lot of times we go back to that content thing. I want you to make this program. I want you to make a certification. It's got to be this long. It's got to do this. Okay, you're telling me, but where's the value in that? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't care. I just want, just get it done. Just do it. That's a feeling that I've heard from leaders over the years, and it gets.
Well, and I think there's an assumption that goes with that we're going to tell people something, and that's going to work. You know, that is going to change their behavior. That's going to have them do something differently. That's going to have them, you know, have us get to the results that we want. And learning doesn't work that way. Learning is, you know, changes happening in your brain that happen over time. And at the end of the day, the learner is in control of that process. Like we can only, you know, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make them drink kind of thing. Like,
right.
The learner, the changes are happening in the learner's brain. And that might take, you know, one exposure to an idea, but usually it's going to take many. And it's going to take it over time. And so, you know, if they have this attitude of like, oh, we've got to get the certification program out. Well, we don't necessarily know that that is going to make that learner an expert, because we don't know what they're doing outside of those learning experiences. Right. Are they going to, you know, are they going to practice? Are they going and applying what they learn? Or are they learning enough so they can pass the test?
So you're saying then, in a really, you know, concise way, we've got to understand the learner. I'm backing up, and then we're moving forward through this. But the process is about, okay, hey, you want me for this job? Why? What is it? What is it that we're here to do? Well, we want to make people learn. Okay, well, it doesn't work quite like that, right? Now we're changing our attitude and our thinking about value. It's, as you and I know, we're hearing ROI. What is the return on investment for this? With education, it's squishy. It's hard to do unless you've set it up right. And if you don't lead with that, this is beyond learning objectives. This is, what is this product, my education, doing for me, right? Yeah. And now it's, I think you had some advice about, okay, the good graces of a job that's wonderful and a leader that really gets it, my next step is to go learn. So if I land in a company, you know, what does that process look like now? Now you've got the time. It's not just making an assumption about what we think people know. Tell me more about that. You know, like going out and talking to people and getting friends, you know, making friends and internal, external.
So understanding your learner, like, one of the things that I think makes us different than traditional education in academics or like learning and development, workplace learning, talent development, is we don't always have access or the resources or the time to go and do all the analyses. Like right. My instructional design book has like 5 or 6 different types of analysis. Like you're doing an audience analysis and you're doing the, you know, task analysis and job analysis and training analysis and performance analysis. And I have never felt in the kinds of environments that I've been working in that anybody cares about that. Like,
right?
Certainly there's not time, and we're not going out to a site to like watch people do their job. Like, we just don't have that access. And so, you know, we do what, you know, even in my textbook says, sometimes you have to do shortcuts. And for me, the shortcut was always like, what do we want the person to do differently after they've had this learning experience? Like, mm-hmm. The reason that we're giving them something guided is we want them to do something differently, or we want them to, you know, change their attitude about something, or, you know, change their mindset, think about adopting a new habit, you know, whatever it is, there's something that we want them to do differently. And so that's my shortcut of like what the analysis is, but we still need to understand the learner. And it's hard to do that if you're not spending time talking to them. Now, spending time talking to them is great. And when I've had the opportunity to do that, it is really helpful. But you don't always have that luxury, especially mm-hmm. if your organization is very siloed. And so that's where you need to make friends with the people who are getting in front of those learners, those customers every day, because those experts understand those problems better than anyone. Like, they're right. They're talking to the people, they're answering the questions, like they're on the front lines. And if you as a learning designer are doing that, then you're not designing good learning. Like you really have to specialize in what you're doing, and they're specializing in understanding those problems and those customers. So it's important to, you know, find a friend or two. It doesn't take many, you know, just somebody who really knows the product, who really knows what kinds of problems that people are having. You know, the question that, you know, we like to ask subject matter experts is, what's hard for people? You know, where are they struggling? And a subject matter expert doesn't always remember what it was like to be a new learner. So I like to think of myself as an instructional designer, kind of like a translator. Like, they are sort of sharing what they know and how it works. And, you know, here's some ideas on ways to solve the problem. And, you know, then I'm going in and saying, okay, how do I translate that to somebody who's just starting? Like, they don't know what they don't know yet.
Right.
And that's, so.
No, that's, this is really important to talk about. And I think we should move on, but I really like that thinking. So it's slowing down, thinking a lot more and talking with people. And what you said about the subject matter expert, we call them SMEs, you know, not the pirate mm-hmm. from Disney, but, I'll try to boil it down quickly. When I've gone to an environment and said, I was asked to build the training program, you know, there are times when, okay, I'm just going to do it. But now I'm questioning everything, because I talk with one SME, they have one perspective and another has another, and they don't reconcile. And then I talk with some customers and they say, no, they don't know what they're talking about. It's like this. And one thing I've come to see in every environment is that I'm kind of like an investigative journalist or a field journalist, even, because I go out there and I gather data. And I'm glad you tapped on this, because one of the strengths I think we have in customer education enablement, you know, this learning, this who we are, the DNA of who we are, is we do that. That translation, that is really super important. Now, you know, if you shortcut that or you don't do that, then you're taking an assumption on what people need to learn. And I guess you go back to Michael Allen stuff, is, you know, teaching and testing, you know, telling and testing. Yeah.
The telemedicine, yeah.
That seems where everybody kind of falls back, and it's like the first teaching mode. And I bet there's thousands, tens of thousands of programs out there that are just like that. But the ones that are performant didn't start that. I don't know. Okay, well, let's do this now. I think we've got at the core of things, and I'd like you to go through again, like drawing out your process, right? That, okay, here we are. We've gotten through all the baloney of, okay, now I know why we're doing this. I know why I'm called here. Yeah, it's valid because there's a lot of work for me to do to become, you know, to bring all this together, to translate, to get things out of everybody's mind. And I think the challenge, though, is there might be a little imposter syndrome and everything, but now I'm sitting down to actually make something. And I know I'm going after, but still to this day, I remember going back 10 years, where do I start to build this thing? I was able to do it and I learned about it, but a lot of people aren't out there and they don't have that, you know, process nailed down. So can you walk me through that? And again, I want you to take it slow and talk about experiences and why you're doing such things. How that's so important.
Right. Well, I think it's important to sort of highlight that a lot of the companies that I've worked with have been at the beginning. Like they have nothing and I helped them get from nothing to something.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just pick a particular problem and you say, how do I get a quick win on this issue? And when I was at Sneak, the problem was this one particular thing. The CSMs and the support team were spending a lot of time answering questions, getting things set up for customers. And we didn't have, you know, we didn't have any instructions. We didn't have an article. We didn't have any videos. And I was like, great, this is a problem I can solve right now. I think I wrote 3 articles. I made 3 or 4 videos. It's like, okay, CSMs, you can use this, get customers to self-serve on this problem as much as possible so that you're offloading some of that time. But my purpose, you know, the why for, you know, why was I there was to help customer success scale. They were overloaded. They were teaching the same things over and over. So that, you know, that kind of quick win felt really synced with that why really well.
Yeah,
they worked together really well. But maybe you're further along in the process, and you've kind of solved some of those quick wins, and now you're looking to make something that's a little bit more structured. And you really need to think about not just why. Now you're thinking about what. What are you creating? And one of the things that I talk about with, you know, sort of the decide what you want to write, which is, you know, kind of what I have in the TechSmiths course is, you know, phase one is, you know, you don't want to give a whole textbook. That's that whole tell and test thing. People don't want to read a bunch. They don't want to watch a long video. Nope. So how do you chunk things into sort of a more manageable thing? And I really like talking about topic-based authoring. This is something that I learned super early in my career, sort of more from a technical writing perspective. And it's used a lot in technical writing. It's used in documentation, but it applies to e-learning really well as well. And that's topic-based authoring. Topic-based authoring is a method of creating content where information is organized into discrete, self-contained topics. Mm-hmm. Each topic addresses a specific subject or concept, and that makes it easier to manage it, reuse it, you know, have it across different documents or platforms. And I think, you know, we talk about chunking a lot as a psychology concept, but I think that's part of the clarify what you're creating. You need to sort of break it down. Like how do you, you know, if you're creating an onboarding program, kind of think through all those steps of what a new customer needs to do. And then, you know, each one of those steps is, you know, part of your program, part of your overall learning experience or your onboarding, you know, your onboarding course.
Right. That's the first So you're basically saying, okay, I'm going to chunk up these first little pieces, which, and that goes back to making friends. Oh my gosh, I know that I'm so stressed out about this one thing and I can't ever figure it out and get it wrong every time. That's priority number one. And I have to remember to do this thing and this thing. And if I don't do this thing before that thing, then it's going to screw up the next few things because it's an interface issue and we have to address that.
Yeah.
So chunking, little small things.
Yep. One of my clients a few years ago hired me because they had an onboarding process that was like 6 or 7 hours with every new customer. And they were kind of like, we can't spend this time with every customer. Like, you know, when you have a small number of customers, it's doable, but you really can't do that as you grow. And so the what was really about like, okay, like here's the checklist for the CSM. Here's the checklist for the customer. Where are the points of interaction? What does the customer need to do before they come to those points? What does the CSM need to do before they come to those points? So the what sort of gets created based on, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, break it down.
Right. Well, I'm going to keep coming back to this, that this is kind of a unique craft, right? We're moving into a learning space. And at first, okay, we just got to get these things and we have to know how to do these. Now we've freed ourselves up because we've scaled some of the knowledge that we have to transmit every day, like that 6 hour thing that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see that a lot with clients that come through in very technical platforms. At least an administrator or somebody that's very technical has to own that system and the configuration. But more than that, they have to understand the workflows around the people that they're going to be using the app. And that takes a lot of time. So you're slowing it down. But you're moving that content into an e-learning or I think a program that I think was really well was a program called Express that at Outreach, where we had our implementation team realized exactly what you said. It takes us 6 to 8 hours for every customer on the phone every week. And sometimes they forget, we have to do it again. So we have to handhold them and walk them through. That's said pejoratively, but it's the reality of it and the solution the team and themselves in collaboration with my team got to was, oh, well, this was funny. I'll give attribution to the people. One of the people on the team said, why don't we just reuse the program material we made in our customer education? We've already got it chunked and blocked. And why don't we do a thing where you can come back every week, learn a little bit, come back next week, learn a little bit. And then it got to the point where that team had minutes, questions, answers, stuff like that. Not, I'm going to click the button, do the thing for 6 hours at a time. That's real power.
Yeah, I like to call that repetitive monologues, like the things that they're saying over and over, like make some videos, write some articles. They don't need to be saying that over and over. That's boring. Like use their expertise in solving unique problems.